All right, guys, so today we're talking Christianity 101, the church. The church, and we're talking the church universal and the church local. Okay, so when people talk about the church in theology, in Christian theology or the Bible, there's usually we talk about church in two ways. One is the universal church, one is a local church. So we'll talk about the difference and how they're really connected, okay? So first, let me just notice at the top there's that question. This is just to get us thinking about what the church is and what the church should feel like in the world. Okay, so do you want to have a taste of heaven on earth? Have a taste of heaven, what heaven is supposed to be like, what heaven will be like, the joy and just the way it is. We'll go to church and you should have a taste of heaven. That's the way it should be, right? Because there's something about the way churches should reflect the way heaven will be, okay? Imperfectly, but a taste of it, right? So first, look at number one, and we have 5 points to go through today. Number one, the universal church. What do we mean by the universal church? When you guys think about the universe, you think about the whole universe, you think about the whole thing, this very big thing. The universal church is all true Christians for all time. Okay, so from the very first one to the very last one, from that place, the end of the earth, to that place, all the way at the other end, all true Christians for all time. Okay, this is the universal church. Okay? Listen to what this theologian named Wayne Grudem said. The church is the community of all true believers for all time. So the Apostle Paul was a part of the universal church. Members of Crosslife are a part of the universal church. All true believers for all time. Okay, all place, all time. Yeah, Jack. Yeah. Yeah, so just every single Christian that has ever lived and ever will live. This is part of the universal church, the church, big C church, right? What was that? I'm saying, sorry, say it one more time.
What do you mean ever will live like that?
Just in the future, past, present, future. Christians, all Christians, right? Part of the church. Okay? So, for example, Crosslife Statement of Faith says this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, right? So when we talk about Christ being the head of the church, it's not only this church, Crosslife Church, is the church, all church, all, the whole thing, right? All Christians, which is his body composed of all his true disciples, all right? For example, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Right, so when the Bible talks about the church, most of the time it's talking, or a lot of the times it's talking about the overall universal church, the church of Christ, right? The body of Christ gave himself up for her. Okay? Now, that's the universal church. The local church, for example, Crosslife Community Church, is a local group of Christians who gather regularly. Okay, that's number two. Okay, the local church is a local group of Christians who gather regularly. So we are Crosslife Community Church that gathers in Sierra Madre. Right? We are, there's the universal church overall, but there is a local church that is choosing to gather together here in Sierra Madre. We call ourselves Crosslife. Okay, does that make sense? Universal, local. So look at 2A, Crosslife Community Church, the Statement of Faith says this, in accordance with God's will, Christians are to unite themselves into particular local churches. So all people who are part of the universal church overall of Christ, they each and every one, we are called to gather in particular local churches, right? So there's different churches that we know about. There's the church that planted this church, right, in Walnut. There's another church where a bunch of people in L.A. who came from. There's another church in La Puente that a lot of people know about. And there's this church in Sierra Madre that meets here in this building, right? So all Christians, part of the universal church, are called to gather in specific, particular local churches. For example, 2B, Acts 14:23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, notice there are elders or leaders that were appointed for each church, right? Individual local church. With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Another example, 2C, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, right? There is this church that is meeting in Corinth, to this one, the church there. Okay, so universal and local church, right? Look at number 3. God is the one who is building his universal church sovereignly. So who is the one who is building the church of Christ? The church overall, universal church, drawing in believers. Hey, Caleb. Do you want to just grab that chair? And just you're going to have to share one of the sheets too. It's also online if you guys want to. All right. We're talking about the church today. What do we mean when the Bible talks about the church? What do we mean by the church biblically in theology? Right. So we just talked about the church being universal and the church being local. There's two ways that we mean when we talk about the church. Number 3, God is the one who is building his universal church. So when we talk about who is causing the church to grow, who is causing people to become Christians, who is causing disciples to be made and multiplied, who is the one who is ultimately responsible for causing the church to grow, who is the one who is building the church, ultimately, it is God himself who is sovereignly building his own church, his universal church. Look with me at 3a, Matthew 16, 18. This is Jesus speaking. I will build my church. So whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. Who is the one who is building it? Jesus says, I'm the one who will build it. I'm the one who's building it. So that should give us great confidence that the church will continue to go forward, and the church will continue to be built, not because pastors or leaders or you know, praise people or evangelists are so great, but because God is so great that he will not fail to build his church. Right? God, Christ is building his own church, and he will not fail to do so. Right? Look at 4. Number 4. If God is the one who is building his church sovereignly, this is the way God always builds his church. And this is the only way God builds his church. Number 4, God always builds his church through what? Through the gospel. This is the way God builds his church and is building his church. This is the way he built it back then, the very first one to the very last one, from all of universally. This is the way God always builds his church, through the gospel. Notice how many gospels are there? There's one, right? It's the gospel. Not a gospel, not one of many gospels. Not this one, not that one. It's the gospel. Look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Isn't it true? Sometimes we are tempted to be ashamed of the gospel when there's people around us who don't believe, yeah, right? And it can be easy for us to be ashamed. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Right, so he's not ashamed of the gospel. He loves the gospel, and he's confident about the gospel because the gospel is the power of God. It's what God uses for salvation to build his church. Right, it's a powerful thing. When the gospel goes forth, God uses that gospel message, the message that just went forth from our mouth, to save people and to build his church, to cause people to become Christians and for the church to be built strong. Right? So you and I, we become Christians through the gospel. And other people become Christians through the gospel. This is the only way, this is the way that God is building his church. And again, God is the one who's doing it, right? So when we share the gospel, God is the one who uses that gospel message that went through our mouth to build his church. That should cause us a lot of confidence. when it comes to the power of the gospel. Okay, let's finish up. Number five. We talk about the universal church, the local church. Universal church is all Christians of all time. Local church is each individual gathering of Christians. For example, Cross Life, FCBC, Evergreen. There's different individual churches. That's local churches. God is the one who's building the church, and he always does it through the gospel, which is a very powerful thing. And we finish up number five. God commands every member, and this is the connection. God commands every member of the universal church overall to also be members of a local church. Okay, read that one more time. Just look at number five, the heading. Let me know if you have any questions about that. Yeah, Jeff.
How can you be in both churches?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's you are called to be a part of both, because we are called to be a part of the universal church spiritually, right? That's who we are. We are part of the church of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. That's who I am in position, right? I'm a part of the universal church. Once I became a Christian, I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the church of Christ. But we are called to physically be a part of a local church and join it, like Cross Life, right?
What if you're in a local church,
well, that's a great question too. So, and we'll get to that very soon. All right, but that's a great question. You guys hear what George just asked? If every single one who's a part of the universal church should also be a part of a local church, is it possible for you to be a part of a local church but to not be a part of this, the local church? Right? And the answer is yes, but it shouldn't be that way. But we'll get to that. All right. Okay, so for this one, number five, I have two main parts, and to help us think about it, one is membership in a local church, to become a member of the church, and two is to gather as a local church. Okay, so we should be a member of a local church, and we should also gather as a local church. Okay, look at a 5A, membership in a local church. Philippians 3:20 says this: our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I talk about citizenship, when you talk about I'm a citizen of the United States, I'm a citizen of this place, our true citizenship is ultimately in heaven, right? That's, we are a citizen of heaven, right? We may be a citizen here now, temporary, but our true and surpassing and everlasting citizenship is in heaven. If we are a member of the body of Christ, we will be with Christ, and that's where we believe, that's our citizenship forever, right? Yeah, Jerry. It just means that we're Christians, right? When you become a Christian, you are united to Christ by faith. And you're a finger, you're a foot, you're part of the body of Christ. He treats you, he looks at you as his body, right? What was that? Oh man, yeah, Christ, yeah. Okay, so Philippians 3:20 again, our citizenship is in heaven, right? That's where our citizenship lies. Now look at the line underneath that, Roman numeral 2. Only citizens of heaven should also be members, ongoing members of a local church. So how do you become a member of Cross Life? What does it mean to be a member of a local church? Well, it means that you're a member, a citizen of heaven, a member of the universal church. You're a Christian. You're a part of the body of Christ. And because you're a part of the body of Christ, you're called to be a member of a local church. Who should be a member of Cross Life or a local church? It should be those who are already members of the universal church. Christians. Does that make sense, guys? Yeah, Chair.
Can you be in a universal church and not in a local?
It's possible. There are a lot of people, not a lot, but there are people who are Christians who just are not a member of a church, who do not go to church on Sundays, who do not. And the reason is because we are not saved by church attendance. We are not saved by church membership. We're saved by Christ, by faith in Christ, right? So it's possible that I truly trust in Christ. I have faith in Christ as Savior. I know my sin. I know my need for Christ. I have faith in Christ. But I fail to do the thing of what the Lord has called me to do is just be a part of a church, a local church. It's possible, but that's not good and that's not right, right? We should, to be a Christian means that we should join a local church and meet, right? And be a part of a church.
Does that mean like you
Yeah, it's possible, right? That shouldn't be the way it is, right? Christ calls us to be a part of a local church, right? But it's possible. So again, joining a church, being a member of a church, it means that you are already a member of the universal body of Christ, universal church. You're a Christian, right? Look at number three, and we're not going to talk about this a bunch, but I'm just going to put it out there. There's this thing called church membership, right? Member of CrossSite. There's also a thing called church discipline. Oh man, that sounds a little heavy, right? Discipline. When we think about discipline, it sounds a little bit more unpleasant. Church membership means the local church sees you and receives you as a member of this church because they affirm that you are a member of the universal church. You're a Christian. What is church discipline then on the other side? Which is, oh no, there's something about we made a mistake. We received this person in the membership, but actually we're not sure if this person is actually a member of the universal church. So we have to put this person under discipline. Usually that has to do with heresy, like you no longer believe in Christ, you no longer trust in Christ. Again, how do we become Christians? What does it mean to be a Christian? It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we repent of our sins and we trust in Christ. We are repenting of our sins and we are trusting in Christ. Church discipline, taking back that affirmation of membership or you're a Christian, is you no longer are believing in Christ. You're no longer trusting in Christ. You deny the Trinity. You deny something that you have, as a Christian, you have to believe. Right? You no longer believe that we're saved by faith alone. You no longer believe in Christ. Or you're no longer repenting of a sin. Right? Maybe it's many sins. Maybe it's a very serious sin. Maybe it's an ongoing sin over a long time. You're like, you know what? A real Christian repents. And this person is living in sin in such a way that we have to take back that affirmation that this person's a Christian, right? So church membership, Christian, universal church, church discipline. Oh no, I think we made a mistake. Okay, so hopefully we never have to see this happen. But it does happen, right? Because we have to make sure that church membership is done right, which is everyone here is a part of this. Everyone here is a Christian, right? Yeah, Jared.
Are you taking this too far? Like, it's like way not in the subject, but like, maybe it's basically apostles' membership that you lose.
Costco membership, yeah. So there's similarities because not everyone is a member of Costco. There's only a certain group of people that are members of Costco. Not everyone's a member of a local church, right? There's only some. So there is a limit to how many people are there. But I would just say the difference is Costco membership. Yeah, I mean, Costco. This person decides I don't want to renew. So you're trying to get in the Costco saying, all right, no, right, you're not a member anymore. It's more of a heartbreaking thing for a local church to say, hey, we've got to put you under discipline because we can no longer affirm that you're a Christian, right? It's a heartbreaking thing for church discipline to happen. The reason why is because a church, we got to make sure we get church membership right in a local church, is because everyone that we're saying you're a member here, we're saying we believe you're a member of this, and you will be in heaven because you're a citizen of heaven. And as long as you continue to be a member here, and we continue to see you as a member, treat you as a member here, we're saying that you'll be in heaven. Just continue running the race. But if we know you're not truly a member here at the Universal Church, you're not a citizen of heaven, you will not go to heaven if you continue living the life you're living because you're not a Christian yet, and we continue to say that you are, we're deceiving this person all the way to hell. Does that make sense? So it's that's why church discipline needs to happen when the time is right, right? Okay, let's finish up. So membership of a local church. Every member of Universal Church needs to be a member of a local church. But also, we're also called to gather as a local church. Every Lord's Day, right? We need to gather together and be together and come together. And that's why I asked that question in the very beginning. Do you want a taste of heaven on earth? Go to church on Sunday. Why? Right? This is the gathering of people who are citizens of heaven. This is the people of God who one day will be praising the Lord in heaven. We're gathering on earth each and every Lord's Day to praise the Lord here, right? This is supposed to be a picture of heaven on earth each and every Lord's Day when the body of Christ gathers locally, right? It's a small picture. It's an imperfect picture, but it's supposed to be a small taste of heaven on earth, right? For example, look at Roman numeral 2 at the end there. Jonathan Lehman, this one guy, the theologian, says this: the weekly gathering of a church is an expression of Jesus' greater heavenly gathering or the universal church, right? So the universal church will be in heaven, praising, gathering before the Lord and praising the Lord there. Well, each and every Lord's Day, local churches gather and praise the Lord here. It's supposed to be a taste of heaven, a small reflection, a small picture of heaven, right? That's crazy to think about, huh? Look at the five quick points at the bottom. Every Lord's Day, the citizens of that heaven, that kingdom, gather. What, as a picture of the kingdom, a picture of the kingdom, of the gathering of people. It will be much greater multitude then, but this is a picture of that gathering here. Number two, to listen to their king speak. That's why we have biblical preaching, right? Today, Pastor George will be preaching from James 4. And his goal is to take James 4, the word of God, and preach this word, this message to us. Because when this passage is preached to God's people gathered, the king has just spoken, right? God has just spoken. This is not, so you never want to see a preacher go, all right, guys, let's look at James 4. You read it. All right, guys. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about this experience I had this past week. You never want that to happen because that's the word of a man. You want the word of God to be opened and the word of God to be preached. When the word of God is preached, God has just spoken. Yeah. 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 Okay, guys. So that's why biblical preaching is the heart of every local church, because we want to hear our King speak to us. We want to hear God speak, not man, right? Even more than us singing or praying, which matters, but even more important, we want to hear God speak. That's why preaching is so important, right? Okay. Number three, to praise Third Great King, prayer, singing, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. We gather every Lord's Day. We will gather in heaven to sing and to praise the Lord. Well, we gather every Lord's Day to sing and praise the Lord together, right? Number four, to fellowship with one another of the kingdom. How sweet the fellowship in heaven will be, right? When we will be in heaven with no sin and no limitations and no weakness. We'll be in heaven fellowshipping, right? Truly and full of joy. Well, every Lord's Day, we gather to fellowship here. And number five, to be refreshed before we re-enter the world, right? We come every Lord's Day, we're refreshed spiritually, we're strengthened, we're encouraged spiritually, and we go back into the world. And we come back again next Lord's Day to be refreshed again, right? So, again, a taste of heaven here on earth, go to church each and every week. That's the way it should be. That's the way we should always strive for it to be. And we should come to church expecting and longing for it to be. Right? All right, guys. So that's the teaching on the church. All right.